And so today we're going to talk about the heart of a worshiper. What does a worshiper of God, of our Creator, really begin to look like? And how do we grow as a worshiper? Because in reality, we all are probably worshiping something because we are created to be worshipers. But what God desires for us to do is to redirect whatever we're worshiping, redirect that worship to Him, begin to say, God, you are the one that is worthy to lead this ship, this vessel, in the direction it needs to go in. And so I'm gonna submit to you, I'm going to worship you, and as I worship you for who you are, you're going to begin to download in me who I am, and I'm going to carry that out in the world. That's, in a nutshell, what worship is. But today, we're gonna look in the Bible, and we're gonna dive into this idea in Romans chapter 12. So if you have your Bibles with you today, I'm gonna invite you to open it up there. And as the writer is talking to the early church there in Rome, he reminds them that God is a merciful God. How many of you know today God is a merciful God? He's a God that has mercy on humanity. In other words, he's a God who doesn't want humanity to stay separated from him. So the Bible says he has mercy. He sends Jesus to die on a cross so that humanity doesn't have to stay separated from God, so we can be forgiven of our sin, step into a relationship, and begin to grow in that relationship with a download of God's amazing grace in our life. See, grace in our life helps us grow, because what grace really is grace is the unmerited favor of God. It's something we don't deserve, okay? It's more than we deserve. And God says, hey, I'm gonna give you my grace to empower you to walk in the fullness of who I say you can be. So we worship God today because of his great mercy. We don't have to stay in a state that is separated from him. And the Bible says that mercy is for everybody. That mercy God had on humanity is for everybody. So we don't have to stay stuck in a state of sin. So we don't have to wander around not knowing what our purpose is in life. And so today, let's talk a little bit about what it means to worship God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The writer says, you know what, in view of God's mercies, he says, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a holy, set apart, and a living and a holy sacrifice. Let them be a living, not a dead. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. It goes on to say in verse 2, don't copy behaviors and customs of this world, but let God, the Creator, as you step into this relationship, let God, the Creator, let him transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. It goes on to say, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Which is good, which is pleasing and perfect. People say all the time, what is God's will for my life? What does God desire from my life? And what God desires for your life is you to be who he's created you to be. To be exactly who he has designed you to be. And how you begin to do that is you begin to seek him in worship. The Bible says we need to change the way we think and then offer our bodies up as living sacrifices set apart. And this is truly the way to worship God. So I like to say it this way. Worship starts in here, in our head, in our thinking. What are you thinking about right now? What are you thinking about in life? Because the Bible says you can be transformed by the way you think. So worship starts with our thinking. It starts in our head and it gets in our heart. And as it gets in our heart, it begins to transform. As it gets in the inner core of who we are, worship begins to transform us, and then it comes out of our hands in the world around us. It begins to get a download of who God is, his goodness, his greatness, his mercy, his grace. It begins to understand his position. It begins to put myself in the rightful position underneath his leadership. And then it begins to let him transform my heart so I'm living in this world pouring out of my hands exactly what he desires for me to pour out. Your true act of worship, your true act of worship is offering your body up as a living sacrifice. Offering your body up as a living sacrifice. In other words, being the vessel that God desires for you to be. And his church is individuals that come together that are uniquely designed. They come together and they begin to pour God's goodness out to the world. And so tonight we're having a night of worship. We're having a night of worship simply to begin to seek God for who he is. Because if you're really, really going to be who God's called you to be, you got to continually seek out who he is. In other words, you should never fully know everything about God, but you should always be seeking his face, knowing who he is. And as you do that, what God's going to begin to do is speak to your heart about who you are. And so how do we begin to really seek God, know who he is, see him for who he is? And I wrote down a few things. This is not an exhaustive list, but these are great ways for you to begin to seek God and understand who he is. Number one is through songs. Everybody say songs. Through singing. Tonight, we're going to have a 2-hour worship service. It might be longer. I don't know. And it's going to be amazing. All right? But I'm going to be here for around 2 hours, and then I'm going home, okay? But let God do what he will do. And honestly, I'll be here as long as God tells me to be here, all right? But tonight, we're going to sing some songs, and we're going to have a 2-hour worship service. We're going to be doing baptisms, public baptisms, right over here in this pool of water. If you've never been publicly baptized, to say, you know what, the old is gone and the new has come in Christ Jesus, and you'd like to do that, to say he's the King and the Lord of your life through public baptism, water baptism, we'll allow you to do that tonight. It's going to be amazing right here. We'll be taking, you know, there's going to be a prayer station. We'll have a time of prayer tonight. It's going to be awesome. We're going to be have opportunities for people to take a communion or the Lord's Supper at different places around the auditorium. So it's going to be an incredible, incredible night for us to seek God. But see, always remember this. When you seek God, as you seek God and know who he is, what God's going to do is tell you who you are. And as God tells you who you are, God's desire is for it to come out of your life and permeate this earth with his goodness. In other words, it's to come out of your hands. So songs are a great way to begin to seek God. Look what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19. It says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. This passage says, don't be drunk on wine. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. Why would God's word say, continually sing songs and hymns to him? See, we sing worship songs in here every week. There's new songs being written, new hymns being written, new lyrics being written about the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the fullness of God, the power of God, what God's doing. And see, songs are always rhythmic things that begin to get in our heart, get in our minds, get in our heads about who God is. This is why it's awesome to sing songs. Now, you may sing songs about other things in life, but if you want to worship your true creator, begin to sing hymns and songs together with other people. Begin to repeat those things in your mind over and over again. And eventually those things will get out of your mind into your heart and begin to come out of your hands. Songs are awesome. You know, I see people in the gym all the time walking around with them earbuds in their thing. And I just wonder, what are they listening to? And sometimes I know what they're listening to. You know, and again, because the guy's over there doing it on the thing, I'm like, dude, are you in here to work out or, you know, do your whatever you're doing? I'm like, I was in the gym last night, and I'm like, I was over there, and this guy's just like singing loud, and I'm like, what is he doing? But I'm like, anyway. But I knew it was getting in his mind. It was making him think he was something. I don't know what it was, but it was getting in his mind. But the point of singing hymns and songs together is to seek God and know who he is. And I think that all praise and worship songs should speak of his amazing name, speak of his mercies, speak of his grace, speak of his kindness to humanity when he showed great mercy through Christ Jesus so humanity didn't stay in the darkness of sin but could step into the wonderful light of who God says that they are. See, we sing songs and hymns and praises to begin to worship and seek God. That's one great way to begin to worship God. Again, this isn't an exhaustive list, but it's a great way for you to begin to seek God. Here's the next one. Is I wrote it down this way. We have to begin to read his word and engage with his word. That's why we present the Bible and God's word in every single meeting that we have. It's because the word of God is all about about the goodness of God and how he's engaged with humanity, you know, and he's come in the form of a man named Jesus, and he's forgiven people of their sin. He had mercy on our soul, and he rose from a grave with incredible power, but he wants to pour that power of God's amazing grace, God's amazing unmerited favor out on our life so that we can grow up in Christ Jesus and become everything he's designed us to be. And the Bible is all about God reaching into our lives so that we can be who we are to be. Amen. It's amazing and it's incredible. And so I invite you to read his word because his word will begin to transform your thinking. It's very powerful. The word of God is powerful. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. This is a way to seek God. It says, all scripture is inspired by God, and it is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. It gets us on the right path. God uses it to prepare and equip. Pay close attention. God uses his word to prepare and equip his people for every good work, for every good work. See, God has his people, the church, the ones that are called out of darkness into the wonderful light, that have received the mercy of Jesus on a cross and been empowered by God's amazing grace. God has a good work that he's called us to. And that good work is for us to step into as a family. And the Bible says God uses his word to prepare and equip us to do this good work. In other words, we can begin to get what God says in our head so it gets in our heart so we can go out in this world together and begin to spread this good news about Jesus. So I do believe that God has a good work uniquely for every one of us to do and participate in, but this is so, why it's so important to really begin to share God's word together as a body of believers and all get in harmony and be going in the same direction, running after the same thing. In other words, God desires for us to be connected to a body of believers is what his word says. And as we're connected to that body of believers, we're to begin to carry out our unique purpose in that body. And as we carry out our unique purpose in that body, then that congregation is to carry out a good work for God in the community. And so this is why it's vital, if you're gonna worship God, to connect yourself to a local church, no matter where it is, because what God wants you to do is seek him. He wants you to seek him. Maybe you can do it through songs and praises. You can do it through reading his word. But also, the Bible goes on to say we're to do it in prayer. Look what it says about the first church that met in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, all the believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, which is communion, and to a prayer. Prayer is vital if you're gonna transform your thinking. Because what prayer begins to do is, as Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he says, here's how you need to pray. He says, you need to pray, our Father who art in heaven, set apart is your name. In other words, prayer is talking to God like he's a father. Prayer is talking to God like he has authority. Prayer is talking to God like you respect him. It's like a child coming to a father. I've got great respect for you. I believe that you have great wisdom. I desire your great wisdom. Your wisdom is set apart. Hallowed be your name. You are set above all. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your ways are higher than the earth's ways. Your ways are greater and grander than anything I could ever think about, imagine in my own mind. And I believe that you are the Father that will download amazing wisdom into my heart and my mind of what I'm to do in this earth in spite of what's going on. If you approach him with prayer, set apart is your name. And then, you know, it's begin to talk to him and begin to listen to what he says through his word and his Holy Spirit. My friend, he has a calling on your life. However we want to say it, he has a great design for your life. Every single person. And the Bible says our life here on earth is like a vapor. It's here for a little while, and then it's gone. But what God desires for us to do is to make a difference while it's here. And so we need to seek him in prayer over and over. Pray for one another. You know, it's a great thing. Tonight's a night of worship. We're gonna have a prayer time. We're gonna pray for God to heal people's heart. We're gonna pray for people's unique needs. But we're gonna address God in prayer as he's the set apart father. And he's a father that gives good gifts to his kids. He's a father that believes in what's best for us in spite of what we see or what we understand. And we're going to approach him in prayer tonight. Some of them will be gathered around with different pastors, different prayer leaders. And man, if you need prayer in your life tonight, you need God to step in and do something amazing in your life, then get with two or three people and begin to circle up and pray at this worship night. It's going to be amazing. Pray individually, but pray corporately too, and have a prayer that's headed in the same direction. Man, we're praying our church makes a difference in our community. We're praying that all of us will be healed of different things in our life, of pain and hurts and our past and, you know, all the things that block us from fulfilling God's purpose in our life. We're praying for healing, but we're also praying for people to execute and let God flow in them and flow through them. We're always inviting you to do something with your hands, to be a part of what God's doing. Because what God is doing in the world, he's doing through his body known as the church. It's the people of God. He is the head, we are the body. All of us have a unique purpose. Let's pray and seek what God would have us to do together. It's pretty awesome to know what to do as an individual. But when you know what to do, in the house or the people that God has planted you in, it changes everything, my friend. You can begin to fulfill that assignment and the church begins to take ground. The next thing I wrote, if you wanna seek God, prayer, his word, songs, communion. What is communion? Well, communion is the Lord's Supper. And this is powerful. We do it as a church. there's going to be a communion available. Sometimes we pass it out. We do it in services. We do it at worship nights. We do it all together, all kinds of things. But it'll be available as a juice and a cracker. But what is all that about? The Bible says when we take communion, it says we're to remember. We're to remember who Jesus is, the sacrifice he has made for us. When we eat that cracker and drink that cup, there's nothing in that cracker or that cup that is going to do anything, but it stands for everything. It stands for the sacrifice, the mercy that Jesus showed on that cross. He says, remember me. Remember my blood. Remember the new covenant. Remember, you know, who I am. And so when we take that, we're to reflect and remember that God had mercy on us. And see, I don't know, but I know that God had mercy on me. I don't ever want to forget the mercy that God had on me when I was separated from him by my sin. In other words, he stepped in. I knew all about who he was and all kinds of stuff, but I didn't have communion with him. I didn't have relationship with him until I began to understand I needed his mercy. And I needed him to do something because I couldn't do it for myself. I couldn't connect myself to God, but I needed him to come in and connect me to himself. How merciful he is. And the Bible says that mercy is available to anyone. And my friend, communion is a great time for you to think back about God's mercy. The Bible says, when you do it, you're proclaiming his death until he returns. See how it can begin to change your thinking? It can begin to change your thinking. And when it changes your thinking, it changes your heart, the core of who you are. And when the core of who you are is changed, it begins to come out of your hands in worship. Offer up your bodies as a living sacrifice, one that is good and acceptable to God. This is your true act of worship. Literally, when I say, God, I surrender all of me to your leadership, your lordship of who you are, and I want to be used because I believe that you know more than I know. And so, God, you are the only one that's worthy to lead this ship, this vessel. That's truly what worship is. It's saying, God, no one else is worthy. A lot of things think it's worth it, but nothing is worthy. And I want to submit myself to you all the days of my life. And I want to worship you, and I want to fill up with you over and over again, and I want to pour you out to the world around me. See, all of these things are ways for us to seek God, for us to begin to engage with God. But understand, worship doesn't stop with just seeking God on a continual basis. What it's to do is it's to change your heart, so that you go out and change the world. And so again, the passage continues and he says it this way. He says in Romans 12 verses 3-6, he goes on to say, don't think of yourself better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourself by the faith that God has, given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to each other. In other words, if you're underneath Christ's leadership, he's the head of your life. God has given you a special function. I belong to you, and you belong to me. And the Bible goes on to say this. So it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we belong to each other. Here it is. In his grace, in his unmerited favor, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. Certain things well. Look at your neighbor and say, do well. Do well. In other words, worship isn't just in this direction. Worship is in this direction, seeking God's face so it can get in our hearts, so we can help those around us, and together, using our gifts, doing all we can with the gifts God has given us, we do well in the community to help expose who God is to the world around us. And so, you know, again, it's great to soak it up. If you're a sponge, if you're gonna change something, you know, you gotta soak it up. But what's interesting, if you leave a sponge that just soaks and soaks and soaks and soaks and never pours anything out, it becomes sour. It's no different with your life. And this is why it says that we're to pour it out, because you're designed to be a reflection of who God is in the earth. And the Bible says it can't happen unless you come together with other believers and you do well and I do well. And so I want to do well with what God has placed in our hands. And so the aim in your life is to do well with who God says you are. And some of us say, well, I can't do well because I'm third string. Well, the reality is we're all third string. But what God does, he takes third string, fourth string, and fifth string, and he develops you in your journey and who you can be when you participate. And as you participate, you become better and you do well at the work God has called you to do in the earth. But you got to get in the game and you got to pour out what God has put in, because God gave you a gift to do something well. I believe it with all of my heart. That's why it goes on to say, in the passage, don't just sit on your gift. Look what it says. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. It says, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Come on. That's a beautiful thing, my friend. In other words, you have to get an understanding of what God wants to do in the world. And as I look out across this congregation, I know God has showed his mercy to so many of us, and he's equipped us to do things well, to do well, to not shrink back, but to step in and do it well. So how do we do it well? Three things. Number one is we learn to serve. Serve with the gift that God has given us, the unique gift. And again, it's not because any of us are better than the other. It's just saying, look, I'm gonna use my gift. I'm gonna do the best I can with what I got. And I need you to do the best you can with what you got. And together, we're gonna begin to expose God to the world around us. And again, it's an amazing, amazing thing to share your gift with other believers, begin to encourage other believers with your gift. That's why your gift was given to you, to encourage the body, for the body to go out and make a difference in the world. And so we all have gifts that God gives us through the pouring of his Holy Spirit and the outpour of his Holy Spirit. He puts that gift in us so we can together do things well in the earth. But we have to step up and we have to hustle and we have to learn to share or learn to serve each other in the process and share what we have. You know, when you look back at the early church, they were very good at sharing with each other so that they could all grow together and began to expose the goodness of who Christ was to the world around us. And so one of the hearts of worship is sharing kindness, sharing hospitality, sharing resources, sharing these things, because what happens is God pours in, and as he provides, we get to pour out to each other and begin to saturate the world with his amazing goodness. See, this is how it begins to flow out of you, my friend. It starts with letting God flow in, but it flows out by us engaging in ministry and serving and doing what God has designed us to do. That's why we're always inviting people to step in and let's do this thing together. It's going to be amazing. It's going to change the world. That's why it's so beautiful to set goals and projects and things to do for the goodness of God in a community together. Because it begins to focus us on what God wants to do in us and through us together. And see, the Bible says the way that we're going to really make a difference in the world is to do good and continue to saturate the community with the goodness of God. It says it this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 21. It says, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by how? By doing good. By doing good. So worship should drive you to the place of doing good. Offer your bodies up as a living sacrifice, one that God finds acceptable, one that God finds, you know, doing what he's decided to do. And this is your true act of worship. It's letting God soak our hearts with his goodness, with his mercy, with his grace, with his kindness, with his hospitality, getting in the presence of other believers, singing hymns, singing psalms, hearing his word, praying together, taking communion together, wrapping our arms around each other, fellowshipping together, getting in those environments, you know, and again, letting God speak into our body. But at some point in time, what he wants that body to do is to begin to expose him to the greater community and conquer evil and take ground and do good. Church is called to do good. We're called to do good in the world, to make a difference, to not let evil, the evil one, conquer people with lies, with hatred, with bitterness, with jealousy. Not let the evil one begin to stamp on people's brain about how terrible they are. No, it's speaking the goodness of God into people. It's speaking the goodness of God by serving together and saying God wants more for you. God wants a relationship with you. God has mercy on your soul. God wants to pour out his grace upon your heart. He wants to grow you more and more in that grace. He wants to develop you in a powerful way. He wants to do amazing things in your life. It's saying, man, we got a good work to do. Come on, join me. Get in the game. Don't stay behind. It's worship. It's worship. My friend, worship, praises, songs, feeling is growing all over this world right now. But understand, what God is pouring in right now, he is going to be pouring out in a powerful way. And my friend, I don't want anyone to miss what God wants to do for them. I invite you not to listen to the voice of the enemy and saying you don't matter. God don't want a relationship with you. God don't want to use you. That's lies of the devil. My Bible says that God died for all humanity. And anyone who would believe in him would be forgiven of their sin and could step in a right relationship with him. My friend, he came so you could step in that right relationship. He came to forgive you of your sin. He showed great mercy. But the question is, are you operating by his grace? Because his grace is sufficient in all seasons and all circumstances. And a lot of people receive the forgiveness, let God have mercy on their soul, but they never grow in the grace. They never operate in the grace. Because see, grace is something that empowers you to do what God has designed you to do in this earth. But you have to participate with grace. You have to work with grace. And God continues to pour that grace out as you begin to take that measure in your life and begin to let it develop. My friend, you know what? God wants you on the journey. The question is will you step in and be a part of what he's doing? Will you be a worshiper? Let me pray for you today. God, you're an amazing God. I thank you, Jesus, for having mercy on us, for coming for all humans in all times and all generations and doing what none of us could do. Pay for our sin and reconnect us to our great God. Jesus, we thank you for the outpouring of love you showed on that cross. As you stepped out of heaven and stepped into earth and gave your life. Jesus, if there's one here today that hasn't trusted the forgiveness and the mercy that you displayed on that cross, God, today I pray that they would recognize you did it for them so that they could step in to an amazing future. empowered by your amazing grace. My friend, the Bible says that if we turn from our sin and turn our heart towards the good gift of God, and we believe it in our heart and we confess it with our mouth, we'll be saved. And so I invite you today, if that's what you need and you need to begin this relationship and begin to worship God and grow in this relationship, I invite you right now to say, God, I turn away from my sin and I believe in Jesus and I turn my heart towards you. My friend, Jesus is faithful. He forgives you of your sin. And now he wants to empower you with his gifts and his amazing grace to do amazing things with your life. I invite you to participate and let God continue to fill you, grow you, and do amazing things through you. May we be a church that has a heart for worship. May we exhibit who God is in this earth as he pours out on us. May he work through us, work in us, and may we outwardly pour who he is into the world around us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.